All right, I'm Shane Holmes, and this is what I have to say today. If I was running for president, what would I do? If I was on the debate stage and they asked me some stupid question like, what do I think about a lepro or whatever? I don't give a fuck. Let the other countries do whatever the fuck they want to do. Make sure they don't fuck with us. But other than that, fuck them. We're going to have to save our own environment. We're going to have to probably save the world. Why? Because all the other nations are not really free. They don't have freedom of speech. They really don't. We're the only one that supposedly has protected freedom of speech. And here's what I have to say about freedom of speech. Anything I want, because I'm an American. So fuck you. Anyways, if I was on stage and I said, and they asked me what my plan was to save America, here's what my plan is to save America. We need diverse energy. Diverse. More than just oil. More than just nuclear. More than just wind power. More than solar power. You know, we need as many different energy sources as we can. So we're not centralized. So basically, if one of them go down, we're not totally screwed. We can handle a hit. If we have 10 different sources and one or two of them take a hit, then we still have 8 other sources to do it. It's super simple, decentralize our energy. That's my first and foremost plan, okay? Nuclear energy, it's a great thing, especially with the modern technology. We'll be able to, and in the upcoming future policies, we're not going to be able to stop electric cars, no matter how good or bad for the environment it is. And mind you, mining for coal and lithium, these are not the most clean processes in the world, okay? So let's not fucking kid ourselves by thinking that electric energy is the cleanest energy out there, all right? I'm going to say that nuclear power is probably the cleanest energy out there. Wind energy, we have a problem with the windmills when they go bad. They're burying that shit because they don't know how to fucking take care of it. They don't know how to take care of that problem. Are we going to fix that problem? We probably should. We should probably be using different technologies to make these giant windmills. That's besides the point. That's really besides the point. We still need to keep working on solar energy. Sun is one of our greatest resources, but we need to be using it in multiple different sources, in my opinion. We need to be taking sun and using for solar panels. We need to be using sun for desalinization, basically taking salt water and extracting the salt. I think we should be pumping water to the deserts that are not being the wasteland deserts, and pumping water into that and filtering out the salt. Use the salt for whatever. Maybe building blocks. Maybe these are just some options. Maybe actual food sources. It also cleans out the water. When water evaporates, it basically leaves behind all the stuff that's in the water and sends up the H2O into the air. That's great. It gives us nice, clean drinking water. It's good for the plants, good for the planet. This will allow us to have more water. Now, what do we do with that water? We need to fix the soil. Basically, we need to plant more trees, plant more bushes, plant more vegetation, and increase the biomass inside the soil so it will hold water. Now, I say we're going to have rising waters. This only makes sense to me that we should be trying to store water in our land. Now, once we have more water in the land, we'll have more rain in the areas. We'll need to have more reservoirs, more places to hold water. So low-lying water. We need more lakes, basically. Once we have these lakes and once we have these stand, we'll be able to stop pumping water to the desert. Well, it'll allow us to farm more land, make the land more fertile, with more plants growing, we'll be able to pull more carbon out of the air. Now, pulling more carbon, and this is just me watching a bunch of different videos and basically putting stuff together. Nobody else is saying exactly the same thing. as I am, these are my actual thoughts. So I could be totally wrong. I could be totally off base. Maybe none of this will work, but this is how I'm putting it together. So once our soil is better and we have more water absorbed in our soil, we have a thicker biomass coming through the soil, we'll need more farmers. We'll need more people running farms. We should probably break up a lot of these big farms to try and increase the soil content, because it's a large job and it's going to take a lot more people. And the big farms are fucking the planet up anyways. They're extracting, although they are producing a lot of food, the food does not have the nutritional value that it should, that it once had, because our soil is depleted from all the farming, that without them regenerating the soil, with them using chemicals instead of using they're not tilling up the ground anymore to basically bring in the biomass into the ground. Instead, they're just killing off the weeds and using chemicals to it's called a no-till. I believe it's called a no-till process, where they're using chemicals instead of rototilling up the ground. We need to change that. We need to go back to rototilling up the ground. We need to be putting biomass, the plants, back into the ground, which causes a better soil, which causes more nutrition in the ground, which causes, instead of extracting all the minerals and vitamins and whatever that goes in the ground, when you total it up. Anyways, what I'm trying to say is that we need to improve the soil. This will help the environment. We need to plant more plants. This will decrease the carbon in the air. I'm not 100% sure that's the problem with what's going on, but a lot of the scientists are saying it is. I don't believe in a consensus. I think either you're right or you're wrong, and people agreeing with you is not the way it is. I can get a lot of people agree that the world was flat at one point in time, even though it's never been flat. Sorry, flat earthers. You're dumb as shit. And here's why you're dumb as shit. Just on a side note. The flat earthers, your theory is basically if you can't see it, if it's not provable, right? You're believing that the earth is flat on somebody else's word. What about the earth says it's flat, man? You can't, there's very few places on the planet that are flat. The ocean is never flat. The land is never flat. It's all at it, you know, it doesn't matter. You look in the sky, you see the, it doesn't matter, because that's the stupidest fucking argument everywhere. Anybody who believes that, you're fucking dumb as fuck. Okay? Sorry. Besides the point. I'm probably not going to say that on stage, just so we're clear. Next. I think term limits for politicians is a great idea. 80% of the people in America believe that term limits is a great idea. We should force that one. That should be the main one we're forcing. Oh, next. I think insider trading, if you're making policies that affect businesses, you should not be able to inside trade. It's definitely a conflict of interest. Martha Stewart went to prison over it. So should Nancy Pelosi. Just so we're clear on that. Fuck that bitch. I might say that on stage, because fuck that bitch. Right? She's fucking evil woman. Evil. You know? Power hungry. I can't believe you guys still elect that bitch in California. Fuck that bitch. So, after that, where are we going? That goes for both Republicans and for Democrats. They're fucking Republicans are bad in other ways, you know. Also, they do insider trading too, just so we're clear on that. They need to be, the whole thing needs to be corrupted. That's why you need term limits. The whole thing is corrupted. All the politicians are corrupted. Even if they're not, they are, because they're working within a system that's corrupt. we should. Here's another thought I was having with politicians. On your way out, politician on their way, like when they get voted out, they should have to work with the next politician that comes in to basically expose what they've done, expose what's going on, and to, instead of just like having politicians come in and start over, they can wing themselves in, you know? What do we do about people that don't get elected yet hold office for, or hold positions in government for long periods of time, you know? And these people might be more corrupt than the politicians. I mean, we vote the politicians in, we can vote the politicians out. But these people that have these forever jobs, basically, in government, that seems to be, that's where we're failing. That's where we're probably losing out the most, because those ones are the most corrupt. You know, now we got corporations that are basically buying off our politicians. What do we do about that? I'm not 100% sure what to do about that. That's a tough one, because how do you prove they're buying off politicians? Are they buying them off individually? Are they buying them off through like the super PACs? How are they buying them off? I'd have to look into that a little bit more. I'm wondering if I'm not 100% sure how super PACs work. That's why I have to look into that. But if super PACs work like this, where you donate into a super PAC and the super PAC basically disperses out the money through to the different politicians where needed, seems like that is a problem. That would mean the super PAC basically gets to decide the vote instead of the politician. And the politician, if they're not individual runs, then they won't have individual opinions, they won't have individual votes, and you will not get any discrepancy in what's going on. Therefore, the super PAC will control who becomes the politicians, who gets to vote what, and then you have basically a univote. All the parties going to vote one way. And I think that's what's going on in our government right now, is they've gotten the money centralized. Once again, we need decentralized, because you don't get any diversification, which means you don't get any checks and balances through our politicians. They're not going to check each other. They're only going to follow what the money, and the money's basically buying off the votes. If the money's not coming from different sources, that means the you have a centralized voting system, and you're going to get fucked, because that means special interests are going to basically rule the country, and that's what's going on right now, I think. I think that's what's going on. But that's how Super PAC works. We need decentralization across the board, I believe. It's consolidating the power at the top, and it's causing for an authoritarian, totalitarian type of government, and it's a problem. It's a problem, you know? If I was the president, I would stand up there and I would tell the people and say, this is how we need to get together. As the people, this is how you need to put the politicians in check. You need to put term limits. This is how you need to, and I wouldn't, you know, obviously I wouldn't have the power just to say this is how it's going to be. I'd have to gather the masses of the people and say, this is how it needs to be. You guys have to, this is how you can do it. This is what you need to do it. You know, convention of states might be an option. And I would encourage and maybe try to make funds available and I would basically try to convince as many people possible to try to save our nation, you know? There's lots of different propaganda out there that is mind control, basically, keeping people thinking about bullshit stuff, so they're not thinking on how to improve their situation, how to improve the government, how to improve the nation, how to improve the environment, how to improve business, small individual business, small business, which really is important for the middle class. You know, it's essential. That's why our current Biden administration is trying to destroy small business, because it's destroys middle class, which creates elites and everybody else, which will, they're trying to bring on a communist type scenario, a government, or some call it socialism, you know, but it doesn't really matter, because in these, there's major problems when you cut out true capitalism. I'm not talking about crony capitalism. There is a difference. You know, and if you don't know the difference, let me do a quick little breakdown for you. Amazon, Walmart, all these major companies, they're only in their position because of crony capitalism, because they're bought off the government to get their political favors, so they can make serious amounts of money. You know, even Facebook is bought off by the, here's controlled by the government / billionaires. Oh, you want to be a billionaire? No problem. We'll let you have favor over here. You just give us a little favor here. I need you to censor this, and this, and we'll let you continue being a billionaire. Thank you. Have a nice day. That's cronyism. That's crony capitalism. That's messed up. That is the worst. That leads to what happens in Germany. What happened in Germany? Basically, you got the government telling the business that we'll give you favor, you give us favor. You get to stay in power, you get to become one of the elites, and we'll be elites, and then everybody else that under you guys are slaves. Slaves to the system. Now, so you think slaves, you think, you know, what happened 200 years, 300 years ago, you know? It's not the kind of slave you're going to be. You will be a slave to the system. And that means they'll keep you at a certain level. You'll not be able to rise up unless the government says so. That's a problem. That's why cutting regulations was a good thing, because there's too much red tape for small businesses, which only allows the big businesses to thrive because the government and them have a deal. That's a problem. That's why you're cutting out the middle class. That's how you end up with bread lines. That's how you end up with a broken system. A broken system, you know? And then what happens when everybody's starving? That's when they come in and said, oh, well, here's what we do. This is the problem over here. Now we have to go conquer these people and take their money so the system can continue. This is why the Germany system is broken. This is why the Democrats, their system is going to be broken. It's if you guys continue to allow this to happen. If you find holes in what I'm saying, please say something. Please say something. You know, I am an open, you know, let me know. I'm willing to discuss it. I could be wrong, and I'm willing to improve on my theories. I'm willing to improve on what I'm saying. And I take a look at the country. I've been almost everywhere in this country, almost everywhere, as far as states goes. I've been to most of the states, over 40, over 45, I think. There's just a couple states like up by Maine that I haven't been to. It's a pretty diverse country when it comes to environment. You know, the people in the desert do not live the same as the people in the wilderness. It's just a different way of life. You know, It's a different way of life. And when you try to make certain rules for one, it doesn't apply to rules for another. So this is why when the states had the power and not the federal government, you get more of an individual decentralized power structure. Just like the people in the cities do not live the same way as the people in rural communities. The people in the cities have a bigger population. They should not be making rules for people in rural communities. That doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. And I consider myself an environmentalist. Let me tell you a story. When I was growing up, we had the spotted owl in the Northwest, you know, in Oregon. And the thing about spotted owl is they were trying to save the spotted owl because they said they only lived in old growth trees, right? So you can't cut down the old growth trees. Well, come to find out, the spotted owl did not even come from the Northwest. It wasn't even a native bird. So saving it didn't make any sense at all, first off. Then they found out the bird will live pretty much anywhere. It lives in barns, lives wherever, right? So, and I get their ideas for trying to save the old growths. It was a nonsensical idea, but I'll tell you why in a second, but these environmentalists were extremists, tree huggers, chain themselves to a tree, they do messed up stuff, vandalism, they do messed up stuff in the name of environment, saving the environment. That's not the way to go about stuff, you know? You have to do it through reason. You have to do it through the First Amendment. The First Amendment, basically, you convince people through your words. You convince people through discussion. You know, sometimes you're going to be right, sometimes you're going to be wrong, but you have to find the middle ground. You have to find what's right, the difference, right? You have to, your ideas, you put it out there, and if they're the best ideas, they will rise to the top. Now, and that's the problem with what's going on today is they're trying to squash the best ideas rise to the top by saying you're not allowed to speak anymore. By calling you names, by you know, trying to shut down conversations, by shutting down your First Amendment right. Back to the spotted owl, right? So, my dad is a logger. In logging, they cut down trees, right? Is that a bad thing? I don't think so. Here's why. In the Northwest, the land is a bunch of hills. There's no houses on these things. They cut down the tree, then they send in a crew to replant. New trees produce more oxygen and pull more carbon out of the air than old trees. Should we cut down all the old growth? I think we should probably manage our forest is what we should do. I think we should make and it gets managed, by the way, especially in Oregon. Especially loggers are really good at managing the forest. Should they be clear cutting? Not in every situation, for sure, no. Should we be replanting? In almost every situation, we should be replanting. Almost every situation, right? Should we not cut down trees near the forest? I think we should do, or near the rivers. I think we should be selective in that because shade is good for the rivers. Shade is good for the animal life in the rivers, you know? So we should be careful when we cut down trees next to the river. Should we cut down trees next to the river? Yeah, for sure we should. But like I said, we should be careful. You don't cut down every tree next to the river for miles on thing so it heats up the river so there's no animal life could live in it. That's not okay. That's not what you want. You want to keep the environment stable. Stable. What does that mean? It means you don't want to basically change the environment so much that it'll kill off life, or that it basically causes algae to grow that shouldn't be growing there, to which might also kill off life. Speaking of algae, in a minute, I will get to that. So back to the spotted owl. This is what my dad says. This is what my dad said when he was alive. He said, these people that are environmentalists, the extremists, they're not really good for the environment. They don't really learn about the environment in a productive, sustainable way. They learn about it in a way like, oh, well, we have to save the environment, so we're going to do this. Well, is that really the right answer? I mean, you're going to go to the people that live in the environment, maybe ask what's best for the environment? No, you just get an idea in your head and you go for it. That's a problem. That's a problem. It's a big problem. My dad said, I am more of an environmentalist than these environmentalists are. I believe in conserving the environment. I cut down a tree. I believe in planting a tree. I believe in making sure your environment is stable. I'm in the environment all the time. I'm out there in the woods. I know what's good for the woods. I know what's, the forest. I know what's good for, hey. And he wasn't 100% right on everything. But wouldn't you rather go to a guy like him who wants to conserve the environment, yet also use the renewable resource of trees? Renewable of trees to help mankind, to help the environment stay stable, to help the environment not maybe not the right word. The point is that he was an environmentalist. I believe I'm an environmentalist. I want to keep the environment clean. I want to keep the environment. I want to use our renewable resources, such as the sun, the woods, the forests. Our animal life, the rivers, the fish in the rivers. 100 years ago, there used to be so many fish in the rivers that they were thick. Like up in Alaska, you see the salmon go up the rivers, and it's just thick with red salmon, right? Chinook salmon. But that's not how it is. That's not how it is now. Why? Because of pollution, because of overfishing. In a lot of ways, and we're basically stripping our environment of a lot of different things and not replenishing in it. Just like replanting a tree, we need to replenish our environment. We need to make sure that when we cut down something, we replant. When we extract minerals and vitamins from the soil, we put minerals and vitamins back in the soil through rototillering the land with the vegetation on it, and make sure that that vitamins and minerals are put back into it. They're turning carbon into good stuff. That's what I believe. I believe we need clean water. I believe we need clean air. I believe we need renewable resources. I believe we need to use our ocean, which is most of the planet, to help make more clean water, to pump water to the deserts for desalinization processes, to put people back to work. Manual labor. It would be a good idea for a lot of people in America, Now let's talk about school systems. In the school system, I think we should... Here's the deal. Why can't we have free school? Tell me again, who's going to pay for free school? I'll tell you how to pay for free school. How many teachers do you need to teach math across the nation? How many teachers do you need to teach math across the nation? One teacher. Record it. This is a new world. We only need one teacher to teach math. Get the best teacher you can find. Record the guy teaching math. And then you have a bunch of tutors to help. You don't need it. It just doesn't need to be. You don't need a million different math teachers, okay, at this point. Maybe a couple of different types of math. You want to have different teachers teach different types of math. But this, the point is one teacher to teach the same class to millions of students. Okay? That's not unreasonable. You just record it and send it out on the internet for free. For free. What are you out? Even if you paid that one teacher $1 million, you could cancel a million other teachers. Okay? And I'm not trying to take jobs from teachers. But I am trying to give you free school, so here's how you do it. You could do that for a lot of different subjects. Okay, there's going to be specialized things where there's... It's not going to be optimal to have a recording to basically teach, but math? Come on now. Math is math, you know. There's not much variation in 2 plus 2. Unless you get some fucking retard that thinks 2 plus 2 is 5. But that's besides the point. Basic math, you don't need a million teachers. Reading, writing. I mean, you might need some teachers to grade. But then again, that's what testing is for. You could teach all these people that want to. Do it online school. How much would that cost? You can still keep all the teachers. Pay one guy to do one class online school for free. Not everybody's going to choose that route. Let kids do the online class. Let young people, adults, everybody could do it. If it's free, anybody could do it, right? Then the testing, let them pay a small fee for testing. You can opt out of this class because you've tested out of it. That's not that big a deal. You should be able to do that for next to nothing as far as, I mean, I don't know how much each teacher makes, but if you add it all up, it'd be crazy. If you did that, you could probably do a lot with a lot of administration fees too. People, so the kids that want to excel could go ahead and just excel as much as they want because it's online, it's free, they get to push themselves at their own pace, right? It's going to be a lot of kids that just need to be in school, mostly because they'll need to be maintained. Then we should be focusing on teaching manners, especially when they're young. I'm sure that's what part of the schooling is when they're young anyways. But we should be teaching on respect. We should be teaching on honesty. We should be teaching... a lot of moral behaviors that they should be getting at home. They should also be getting in church if they go to church. You know, these are things that they should be teaching in school as well. Maybe you don't get to teach the religious part, but you definitely should be teaching the moral issues. Don't lie, don't steal, don't kill, don't, you know, all the good stuff that comes out of religion. Most religions, say, is... they should be trying to install in your kids' behavior. Anyways, it's probably getting a little bit long. And until next time, Shane Holmes. Bye.